Come on, you people, you're cutting into my time. Just go for it. Go for what? We set up this ramp. We're going to make some jumps. I get 3 attempts to see if I can make it 20 feet.
Okay.
And I'll give I'll look like the Dukes of Hazzard up here. If any of you don't know me, my name is Tom. I'm one of the leaders here. I'm the resident smart aleck. I'm proud of it. Actually, I was told that when I moved here. I'm from Alaska originally, born and bred in Alaska. And I can't help it. Alaska's the biggest. It's the biggest state. It's the home of all the biggest. Seriously. We have the biggest moose. You guys go to Northwest Trek, those are babies. We have the biggest bears. Biggest bears in the world in Alaska. Biggest salmon. That's what I got. Ask Linda Bunker. She grew up near where they catch these monster salmon. And that's not even, that's a baby. That's a baby. The biggest mountain. You've seen Mount Rainier, you haven't seen anything yet. Mount McKinley is beautiful. They say it's the second biggest mountain in the world. It's actually the tallest from the base to where it is at sea level, above, however far above sea level to the very top is actually taller than any other mountain in the world. A bit more height, elevation. And it's just the state of the biggest earthquake.
Yep.
Actually, second biggest in the world. Alaska earthquake in 1964 was 9.2 on the Richter scale. I believe the biggest is 9.3. It was Argentina or something like that. Let me tell you about my harrowing near-death story from 1964 earthquake, because I lived through it. I was 4 years old. But I remember it. I remember it. We're sitting in the car with Dad and my older brother and my 2 older sisters. My mom's in the grocery store, and all of a sudden the car starts going like that for about 2 minutes. My dad didn't freak out. I don't remember my dad having any reaction. He probably did, but it just didn't. We were just like, what is this? It stopped, and my older brother spoke up, and he said, "Hey, Dad, that was fun. Do it again." I'm serious. True story. What I realized afterwards was when it got done shaking, before the earthquake started, there were parking spaces between us and the cars that were next to us. When it stopped, the door handles were touching. It was powerful. And my mom's in the store. We didn't know this, but she's in the store laying on the floor, trying to cover up our baby sister to keep from all the stuff falling on them and killing them. But it was amazing. But I don't know if you got the pictures up there of some of the damage. It was devastating. Yep. It transformed. And those are just, there's tons of pictures online that you can see of the devastation and stuff that happened. Just transformed the landscape from this just powerful earthquake. Well, I want to talk to you today about transformation. But I don't want to talk to you in the sense that good things turn bad. I want to talk to you in the reverse. The kind of transformation that God wants to bring. The healing that God wants to bring. Let's just read our vision statement here again. This is what, installment number 5 of our foundation series. And we've been reading through our vision statement. We have a vision to see all people fully accepted by the grace of God and adopted into his kingdom. Together, we will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, discipled to maturity and released on mission to empower the poor and bring the gospel to the world. This morning, I just want to focus on that one phrase, together, we will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of our high values here at this church
And we've numbered about 8 of them, if I remember right, out of this vision statement. And one of them says that we highly value the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We want to see God lifted up here. We want to see lives transformed. Like only He can do it. I want to read some scripture here, and then I'll get into a little bit deeper into this message. So most of this, I think, is going to be up on the screen. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. How many thank God for new things? Some of us came with old things, and God likes to make things new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Joel chapter 2 in verse 28 and 29. And the prophet Joel, this is just comes at the tail end of a long prophetic word that he gave about the way God was going to turn things around and some of the stuff that was going to happen in the end. And in the middle of this text, he says this. He says, and it will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I believe that we're living in those days. God wants to pour out His spirit. I want to read now out of Luke chapter 24 and verses 36 and 49. It says, and this is Jesus. He had been risen from the dead now, and He's reappeared to His disciples, and they're still trying to figure out, are you really here? And it says, as they were talking about these things, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, He said to them, have you got anything to eat? You got anything to eat? They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate before them. Then He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. One more, just a couple of verses here out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you, when we read this, I want us to read us into this verse, okay? Because this is God, He's talking to us. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your amazing, amazing mercy. And thank you, God, that you have redeemed us. And you've brought us our lives from the pit. You've brought us from humble beginnings, brought us, some of us, from devastation. And you've brought our lives into your kingdom, into your light, into contact with you, in your love. And I pray this morning, God, as we read and we hear from your word, we hear from you, that these words will penetrate our hearts and that we understand not only have you redeemed us, but you have called us. You've called us to be a church. You called us to be a people of light and a people of power. And I just pray these words today will just help us and encourage us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God has a habit of taking nothingness and creates purpose out of it. nothingness. We see it in creation. Look in your Bibles in Genesis chapter 1. It says the earth was formless and it was void. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God's Spirit has he has the power, and he's just got, it's just in him to create something out of nothing. He takes brokenness and he brings healing out of it. Some of those pictures that were up on the screen of the brokenness of something like an earthquake, that's a representation of a lot of our lives. We come to God, we're broken, we're messed up. Maybe not all of us, but some of us have gone through terrible ordeals in our lives, or things that have shaped us, things that have changed the landscape. And God has a way of taking those things and bringing healing and creating us new. Isn't that awesome? And God takes weak people and he empowers them. These things that I'm reading to you, these statements, this is like a progressive thing. God, he takes nothing, he takes brokenness, and he takes weakness, and then he empowers us with his might. It's like our identity is no longer in that brokenness, it's no longer in that weakness, it's no longer in whatever it was that needed to be healed in our lives, and then he takes us and he empowers us, he wants to put his Holy Spirit on us. And God takes blundering individuals, and I put that word blundering in there because I'm talking about me. Maybe I'm talking about some of you, but I tend to be just a blunderer on my own. And he takes us and he joins us together in a family where his power and his presence dwells, and through which the nothingness and the brokenness of people's lives can be transformed. I don't believe there's anything out there that can replace the power of the presence of God working among his people in a corporate gathering like this, in a family. I just have such a hope for the power of God to be manifest in this place. As we come together. We come together every Sunday. Yeah, we're Christians. We know that. We're Christians. You're supposed to be in church together. So it's something that we do. All right? I don't know how many of you thought about the time change last night, but we think in advance, okay, you know, I'm going to set my clock or whatever, set our alarm, so that we're not late. So we come to church because that's what we do. We come to church, and it's great because we get to see each other, and we get to worship together, and we hear good preaching.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that, you're talking about last week? Or in hope for what this is going to turn out to be, yeah. But the presence of God. God says in his word, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Yes. I believe that God is in our midst. He's in our midst right now. Yeah. It's not something that we have to, I hope he comes. Maybe we need to stop and invite him. We're his kids, right? He's here. Yeah. He's here. And when we come together, we need to say, okay, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to say to us today? And I just believe that tremendous, amazing things can happen in people's lives as the church, as God's people, come together in a corporate setting. We see this depicted many times in the Bible. Actually, read through the book of Acts, and there is just one instance after another of God's people and the power that becomes manifest through their being joined together. Let's just talk just briefly about Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Jesus, we already read what Jesus told his disciples. You're going to be my witnesses. I'm putting this out to you. It's on you. This gospel, this message is going to be brought not only in Jerusalem, but it's going to spread throughout the world. But he says, wait, because I want to give you my spirit. I want to empower you. So here we have 120 people. This is only a month and a half. That's all. Since Jesus was buried, and then he rose from the dead, and he reappeared to them, he ascended into heaven, and they're gathered together, just crying out to God for this. They don't even know what. He just said, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to send my spirit. And the picture is that paints us in Acts chapter 2 is it said there was like a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Just filled the room where they were at. And tongues of fire were rested on each one of them. And they all started speaking in another language that they'd never learned. And they're in Jerusalem. And there's a ton of people gathered in right now because this is like one of the major feasts of Israel. And so we have people gathering from all over the known world that are coming to Jerusalem to worship and to seek God. And they see all of this uproar right now because here's 120 people that are doing, they don't understand what. But all they know is, you're from Jerusalem, I'm from halfway across the world, and you're speaking in my language. And they're like, what is going on? And Peter, blundering Peter. I like Peter. I like to think I'm like Peter. Because I am a blunderer, but with the power of God, he can be spot on. And Peter gets up and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, speaks this powerful message and says what we just read in Joel here about the Holy Spirit being poured out. He said, this is what you're seeing. This is what you're hearing. This is what you're viewing. And he just lays out this amazing message. And there it says that they were pierced to the heart. God just cut through everything. And they said, what should we do? And he says, repent. Be baptized. 3,000 people, 3,000 lives transformed. And that was just the beginning. These guys are going back to their home countries and cities. And so it's just the tip of the iceberg of the transformation and the stuff that happened through a corporate gathering, through people being with God's Spirit being poured out on them and his power being displayed. Just a few chapters later in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had raised a crippled man up, and he was walking for the first time in his life. And the Pharisees were upset, and so they started bawling him out, and they got persecuted, and they were told, don't do it again. And when they left, and they went back to the church, and they got together, and what'd they do? What do we do now? Uh-oh, we got to come up with new strategies. No, they called out to God. They called out to God and they said, Sovereign Lord, you're in control. You're over all of this stuff. We're not going to stop. Would you give us more boldness? And it says the whole place was shaken. They had their own little earthquake right there. And it said that the Spirit of God just poured out on them anew and afresh. And they just were like filled with a whole new boldness. I think God wants to do amazing things through us when we gather together. We know that God was launching the church and the message, just the message. The gospel is powerful, is it not?
Yeah.
The gospel is powerful. There's nothing like it. To connect someone with the message that God wants to make you brand new, that God would take your past and put it behind you, period. Nothing you ever have done in the past or will do in the future is ever going to be held against you again. He wants to give us a hope and a future. There's nothing like it. Nothing is going to replace it, but God never intended for that message to be all on its own. God has always intended that his power would be right there with it. That it's not enough for me just to tell you that Jesus loves you and he has a hope and a future for you. But I think it's also on me to demonstrate the power of God, that God sees you right now, right here, where you are with your stuff, and he has the power to change the landscape.
Yeah.
I think that God wants us to continue in the same power. What we see all throughout the book of Acts. God has for us, his people, his church, to continue in that same power, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? There are huge holes in people's lives. There's chaos, there's hurts, there's lack of purpose, spiritual and physical devastation, and nothing short of the power of the Holy Spirit will adequately address these things. Counseling can help. Classes can help. There's multiple things that can help, but there's nothing like the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to just read you just another few verses here. Luke chapter 4. It said, this is Jesus. It said he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What is he doing? He's owning that. He's saying, the Holy Spirit is upon me. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is upon me. Because, what for? Because I'm going to do these things. I came to proclaim the good news. I came to set people at liberty, to break out captives, to bring sight to blind. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit has been given. A lot of us, we're Christians here, we think, we say we have the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why God's given His Holy Spirit. He's given the Holy Spirit not just so we can feel warm and fuzzy. It's not so that we can just feel close to God. Yeah, those things are there. But His Holy Spirit is here. The power of God is here to work in conjunction with His truth that's in His Word to change the landscape.
Yes. Amen.
1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, "You are chosen race." I read this already. I feel like it's worth reading again. "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God wants us to speak His words. We heard some words this morning. Anybody encouraged by those things? You know, there's no replacement for God in our presence speaking through one of us, one of His members, and saying, "God wants to encourage us in this way today." And when it's from God, we find ourselves like, "Yeah, thank you, God. I needed that. I needed that encouragement." And I think as a chosen people, we need to be not afraid to speak God's words.
Yeah.
God's words of life, they bring encouragement, they bring wisdom, they bring knowledge, they bring direction. And He's called us to speak them. When we come together, I was raised to wonder when we came to church, what is God going to tell us today? And I'm not taking anything away from whatever the preacher preaches, because I believe God's speaking to us through the preaching. But I think that there's sometimes God wants to speak to us in addition to the preaching. Sometimes He wants to single us out. Sometimes He wants to say, "I know about you." Because there's a couple of ways, I'll get into this one point, there's two ways that the Holy Spirit empowerment can bring transformation. It can bring transformation to the people that are coming into this place. Let's just look at this. Okay, so we have 150 people or so in this room. And any one of the people in this room, whether you're from this church or you've never been here before, can be transformed as a result from coming in contact through God working through us as a church. One of those things is God can just break through anonymity and say, "I know about you." I'll just tell you a little story about my dad. About 1965, 67, somewhere in there, I was just a kid. My dad wanders into a Bible study on a mid on a night, you know, I don't know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, something like that. It was a church like us that was having a little Bible study at night. And there was, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 people gathered. And my dad and his brother decided, let's go check this thing out. They'd never been there before. Didn't know anything about it. They just heard about it. So they went to come in and just check it out. And they sat through a class. And then there was a break. And during the break, a lady got up and said, I don't know who this person is, but God told me there's someone here in this room that has broken their neck in the past, but you've never really fully healed. You're in pain, and God wants to heal you. And my dad, not knowing these people, not them not knowing him, is sitting there just gripping his chair thinking, how does she know about me? Because the truth is, some months earlier, my dad had fallen off of a height and broke his neck. And he'd already been to the doctors. He'd all healed up. He didn't have neck brace or anything like that. Nobody would have ever known that my dad had any problems, but he was going to a chiropractor and an osteopath 3 times a week for relief of the pain. He said that was going to be his life. And he's thinking, how does she know about me? He said, I don't remember what that second class was about. He was just too scared. And they left, and him and his brother talked about it afterwards. They said, what should I do? And his brother suggested, let's go back there next week and we'll talk to the pastor. So they did. They went back. They went to the pastor and they said, that lady last week, whatever she said, she was talking about me. I don't know how she knew, but she was talking about me. And the pastor, he said, can we pray for you? And he said, yeah. So the people, the church there, gathered around him and laid their hands on him. In my dad's own words, he said, it felt like somebody just lifted this heavy pack that he'd been packing around. 100 and some pounds is what it felt like. Somebody just walked up behind him and just lifted it off. And he was miraculously healed right at that point. Now, why is that story so important? Because my dad, being a religious person but never really knowing Jesus, was brought into contact with the fact that God knew about him. And that God was powerful enough to change the landscape of his life. And it did. Because that was our, as a family, that was our inception into a church just like this. Where we were taught and brought up to believe that God is here, not just in word, but in spirit and in presence. And in power. It was transformation for my dad. Miraculous healing is brought into impossible situations. Every Saturday I'm here with Harvest House and our neighbors come in this room and I think there's situations, there's stuff. Some of these people are coming from very bleak situations. And I can pray for them and I can tell them Jesus loves them and I can give them a loaf of bread and whatever other kind of sustenance I can think of. But nothing can replace God just divinely showing up and saying, I know about you. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that God wants to do when we're gathered together here. God can just say, I know about you, and God can bring miraculous healing. God speaks direction and wisdom, can be spoken into lostness and bewilderment. Anyone ever come in here a little discouraged and somebody shared a word from God that just lifted you up? The church family is strengthened and encouraged and comforted. That's exactly what God has in mind when he's given the gifts of the Spirit and he said, I want them poured out in the church. I want them poured out on you and I want them exercised in your corporate gatherings. As a church, we become strengthened. We find ourselves encouraged and comforted by those things. And secondly, you, when we invite the Holy Spirit to work through us, we can be transformed also as a result of God working through us. See, I think I find that when we offer ourselves up to God and say, yeah, not only is the Holy Spirit invited to this meeting, I want to offer myself up to you, say, God, Holy Spirit, what would you like to do through me? What could you say through me? And when we do that, when we invite God in that way, and we allow God to work through us that way, we get transformed. We can become less self-focused and more we have more of an outward focus. We come to church, it's not just for me anymore. It's for everybody else. When we go to church on Sunday morning, or whatever kind of gathering is, CR, or whatever, one of your small groups, God, what would you do through me today? We become less dependent on our own abilities and more comfortable with God's abilities. That's exactly what I'm talking about here this morning. What God wants to do is way beyond our abilities. And if I come in here, if we all come in here just trusting to our abilities and our own creativity, cool. We might do some good. But I don't think we're going to have any kind of amazing transforming power. We need to become less dependent on our abilities. John stood up here and brought us a word of exhortation this morning, and some of you would say, I could never do that. That's not me. But see, the more in touch we become with God's Holy Spirit and the way He wants to work through us, we start to understand it's not about what you think you can do anyways. It's more about how big is your faith? How willing are you to lean on God? We find ourselves like Moses making excuses why he couldn't go to Pharaoh. I can't put two words together. I can't. Yeah, right. God said, I'll be your mouth. I'll say the words. We become more fruitful with the fruit of the kingdom than we could otherwise be. What could otherwise be possible? And we are drawn out of our independence into an appreciation for the body of Christ and the gifts of the Holy Spirit working through all its members. God wants to work through all of us. And he values all of us. I mean, I'm going to read, there's a couple of sets of scriptures here I feel led to read. It's not going to be up there on the screen. If you have your Bible, I know everybody, nobody brings their Bibles to church anymore. Write this down when you get home, read it. Then I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 12. The first 8 verses says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. I'm just going to stop there for a second. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Do you think God could say one good word through you? How much faith do you have that God could speak something through you? If it's prophecy, if you think prophecy is something that's way beyond you, prophecy, if you want to just break it down into the most simplest of terms, is God-inspired words. Do you think God could inspire you with some words? Prophecy in proportion to your faith. So the only thing that's limiting here is not the power of God, it's you. How big is your faith? If it's service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts
in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. God has put all of these gifts in the church. Another set of verses I want to read, 1 Corinthians 14. First five verses, he says, Paul said, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Actually, there's about three chapters here, chapters 12, 11, and 13 all talk about spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in tongues builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now this, I have to hold myself back here because this is a huge subject. The Holy Spirit and all the gifts, I'm not gonna try and dump all that on you right now this morning. Let's just suffice it to say, God has given amazing, powerful gifts by the Holy Spirit. And he's given them, just like these verses said, so that the church is built up and strengthened and comforted. And in verse 26, he says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Let everything be done so God can get his work done. Let everything that be done, God wants to change some landscape. So how do we respond to this? What do you want? What do you do with it? What am I asking you to do with it? I would ask you, acknowledge that you need the Holy Spirit. That's where it starts. Just acknowledge it. I can't do it, God. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you that you've given me a future. You've given me a hope. But this thing that you've called me into, this team now that I find myself on, this family that I am now joined to, we need your Holy Spirit. We need it. Secondly, I would say receive the Holy Spirit. Paul, in it says in the book of Acts, he ran across some believers in Ephesus. In one of his missionary journeys, he ran across some believers. And he approached them and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. We haven't heard anything about this Holy Spirit. And I ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning to receive the Holy Spirit if you want to. The third thing I want to say, I'd like the worship team to go ahead and come up. Let's do that last song that we did, okay? We need to lean into the Holy Spirit. We need to lean into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us. When you come to church on Sunday, when you're coming together with your community group, whatever setting it is, I want to challenge you that you would ask God, say, God, would you use me today? Would you speak through me? Could I be just even a little bit of an encouragement to someone? See, it's not going to just happen. Some of you would think, I don't ever hear anything. God's not going to speak to me. Even though I want him to, I never hear anything like that. How often do you ask? Do you ever put yourself in a place and say, God, give me your words. God, will you reveal a message to me? Would you reveal some hope to me that I could speak to someone? See, we have to lean into it because we're not going to do it naturally.
We're going to default to our own understanding, what our own eyes see, whatever we're just apt to get involved in. We have to lean into it. It's like going over and turning on that light switch because I want light to be in this room. We have to intentionally go after it. So I just want to appeal to all of you, all of us as a church, because I believe God wants to transform lives in this place, just like my dad and his family with him. Let's invite the Holy Spirit and lean into that. Why don't you all stand? Let's sing the song. Speak.